commands. That's Psalm 119. It's pretty repetitive and all that, but let it stand on its own. It's enormously long, as you can see, 176 verses. That never happens. And I thought I'd just spend a few little minutes now relaxing you back from that by this topic, talking about obedience, because that's what the whole topic's about, surely. Just a few observations on obedience. The word obeying, look at the Latin firstly, you know this, but I'll just put it there. Obaudiens. Obedience is obeying. And that's obviously where our English word comes from. Now the obedience comes from two Latin words, a verb first or a participle, and then the preposition at the front, the adverbial preposition. Audiens means listening, as you well know from the word audience, and ob, as in objection, obfuscation, obliteration, you know, ob means right up against, ob. So obedience means listening from right up in contact with, not from a distance or anything, just from listening close. So that's the Latin. So technically, according to the word, obeying means listening closely. It's really important. It doesn't mean doing what you're told, because what you're told may well be wrong. But having listened closely, you may have to decide you won't do it. You can't do it. You refuse to do it. You're going to become a conscientious objector or whatever. And you must make that stand. And doing what you're told should never be an excuse for any kind of behaviour, good or bad for that matter. So the conscience is the key. You have to make your own decisions, and you make them, but having listened really closely. And if you're listening closely, whether you follow or don't follow, you're being obedient in the technical sense. I hope that's clear. Just from the word, I mean. Now, that, instructive as that is, it's much more instructive when you look at the other languages of Greek and Hebrew, which is our biblical languages. Look at Greek. The whole New Testament's written in Greek. The Old Testament, as it came into the church, was the Greek Old Testament. So Greek is an enormously significant language in our culture and in our religious culture. And in Greek, the word for obeying, I mean, I've given you the first person because I often do that as a verb, but hypakuo means I obey. H-Y-P, it's like the French U in its sound, hypakuo means I obey. But that comes from two words. One is akuo, which again means listening. Acoustics, we've got in the word akuo. Akuo means listening, and hypo means under, as you know from hyper and hypo. So in Greek, obeying means listening from under, from a position of humility and respect and recognition of the authority of the one you're listening to. You know? So that's got just a nice little quality, but it's still listening. When you go to Hebrew, without all the qualifications, the verb shama in Hebrew simply means, because it's a much simpler language, it's much less complex or subtle than Greek or English for that matter, of course. It's a small language, ancient Hebrew. Shama means listening, it means heeding, it means obeying, all of them. So it means listening again. Samuel means the one who listens to El, God. That's the meaning of the name Samuel, the one listening to God. So all those languages, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and therefore English, obeying means listening. And then discerning from listening. That's the first bit. The other point I want to make here is just a meditation, really. Look at Jesus obeying Psalm 119, however beautiful or simple or repetitive you might find it. It's right on the knocker. And here's Jesus saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. These are all from John. You could take them from many places, but I've just done it. I seek to do not my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. I always do what's pleasing to him. Now, they're all statements of Jesus as found in the Gospel of the Beloved Disciple, and you know that, but it's clearly central to Jesus' life. Now, it was also central to what he said about our lives. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So that's the key, doing God's will. There's nothing else to do. And whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You remember that. They're both taken from Matthew. You could take them from Luke or Mark, but they're just... So clearly obedience is at the center of what we're talking about. Now some quotes just from the saints to reinforce this. Not that you need it, but I'll just share with you. Here's a couple about Mary, first from the New Testament, the greatest of the saints. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. The word spoken by Mary, as Luke presents it, listening to God's word and saying, okay, I'll do it. Love me. And when she goes to visit Elizabeth, this is Luke again, blessed is she, that's Mary, who believed that what was spoken to by the Lord would be fulfilled. She listened to God's word. She heeded it. And she followed it, knowing that it would produce fruit in her life. Jesus and the rest. Here's Teresa. I'll just give you one each because they're all so beautiful and I could go forever on it. Teresa of Avila says, prepare yourself with determination and every possible effort to bring your will into conformity with God's will. The greatest perfection attainable along the spiritual path lies in this conformity. In perfect conformity to God's will lies all our good. Now she's very clear, not mucking around, that's perfectly consistent with all her teaching. Here's John of the Cross saying exactly the same. All the saints say it. What does it profit you to give God one thing if he asks of you another? Consider what it is that God wants and then do that. You will, as a result, satisfy your heart better than with something towards which you yourself